right what you are. You're a rock and roll star. La 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 la.
No, I just want to be a friendly neighborhood radio talk show host on a rock and roll radio station entitled Your Radio Friend. And I am. This is Glenn Klein, and we are getting over the hump now with author Rick Jones, the author of Analog Advice in a Digital World. Good morning, Mr. Jones.
Good morning, Glenn.
How are you?
I'm terrific.
Happy 420.
Thank you.
Do you know what that is?
I'm not sure what that is.
See, Rick Jones is a wonderful man, but I would think it would be fair to say that you're pretty much a good conservative Southern Republican gentleman. Would that be fair enough?
I would say that would be probably pretty fair.
Well, we learn so much from you on these segments each hump day, and now you're about to learn something, sir.
Good.
420 is the national holiday for those that partake in cannabis.
I see.
Many moons ago, folklore has it that a bunch of students in California decided that they would get together at 420 to partake.
I see.
And somehow it just spread like the proverbial wildfire, Rick, to coin a phrase.
Yes.
And so you, now that you've heard this, you are going to hear it today. It was just on the top of the hour's news nationally. And what is your take on legalizing marijuana?
Boy, oh boy.
You thought I was going to ask you about basketball playoffs or something, didn't you?
No. I'm going to say this. You described me as this, Southern Republican. I'm really a fiscal conservative, but I'm a pretty social moderate to liberal. I think you have a hard time legislating morality. I also think that part of our issues with the drug culture is when you don't legalize things, then you allow bad people to get involved and hurt people, and when you do legalize things, you control it, and you control supply and demand, pricing. So I'm in favor of probably legalizing it. I still believe it's a state-by-state issue. I'm kind of a state-by-state guy. I've always been that way. Depending on the culture of each individual state, I would leave it up to states to make a decision about doing that. But I think clearly those that have been criminalized, thrown into penitentiaries for drug abuse, I think that's a big mistake we've made here in America. Instead of trying to fix, problems, we throw them in a cell somewhere. So I lean more towards the legalization side. At the same time, I have seen where, any kind of drug or alcohol can lead to people with certain behaviors, to stronger drugs, stronger addictions. And so you have to be careful of that. But is marijuana any more dangerous than, alcohol? Probably not.
Well, I think it's a lot less dangerous.
Yeah. I mean, again, I think it's all about body chemistry and how you respond to do some things. My only concern about any kind of abuse of any, drug or alcohol is just the creation of apathy. Recreational participation, that's one thing. When it begins to dominate your life, it becomes another thing.
Right, but that's like anything else. But the guys that I went to my boyhood reunion with are all huge golfers, except for me. And now some of them are into it more than others, but golf can dominate somebody.
Yeah, literally. I think you're right. I think you can be, I guess moderation in everything in life is probably a pretty good place to be.
And I was talking before, and you are a master communicator, that when you communicate in a relationship, and we have a relationship with our society, we have a relationship with our government, and vice versa, when you communicate inconsistently, then that's where a lot of problems happen, whether it be in spousal relationships or in international politics. When President Obama said to President Assad of Syria, that I'm going to draw this red line here, and if you use chemical weapons against your own people, that will be a line too far. And then he didn't do anything about it. That was inconsistent communication, and look at the mess that it caused.
Yeah, you've made a lot of comments about the fact that we need to be you know, consistent in our relationships, and a big part of that consistency is communication. I'm guilty as anybody else of being, I think, inconsistent at times, you know, based on grumpiness or fatigue or, you know, just the end of the rope kind of things. And yet, I really do believe that the more consistent we are in everything, the more easily we're understood, and the expectations are understood. I think the world right now at large sees the inconsistency in our administration's foreign policies, and they're confused. And I have a sign in my office that says, a confused mind always says no.
Well, you talk about consistency. One of the reasons that I think people have a tough time moving forward in their lives in any area is because they think that the goal needs to be perfection or near perfection. And what I always suggest to my clients is don't go for perfection. Go for consistency. Just be consistent, because you're never going to get a base hit every single time at the plate. It's not possible. That commercial campaign by Lexus,
the pursuit of perfection.
Really a bad idea.
Yeah.
Because you're pursuing something that you're never going to get to.
Yeah, I agree with that. I love the baseball analogy because, you know, it's about your swing. And if your swing's consistent, then the balls will fall in. But sometimes you hit, you know, ropes that go right to people. You know, and so you look, you're 0-5, and you say, yeah, but I hit, you know, 5 line drives. I just hit them right at somebody. So I think that's, you know, that's kind of true. It's funny, my wife and I were laughing yesterday about how our standards have changed so much with our older children and our grandchildren. Our standard now is no collateral damage. You know, so our expectations have certainly changed. We're no longer pursuing perfection. We're just pursuing no collateral damage.
Well, as a parent, one of the greatest metaphors that I ever heard was that our children are like fine china. Because we're so paranoid, especially with these helicopter parents now, and nothing can go wrong with their kids. But the fact of the matter is, children are like fine china. Now, you only can do one of three things with fine china. Either you can put them on the shelf and never touch them, just look at them, not interact with the china at all. But if you decide to use it, something is going, one of two other things are going to happen. At some point, you're going to chip the china a little bit.
Yep.
And sometimes you drop the china and it just is destroyed. It just is in a million pieces and smithereens. And I think as a parent, the best that we can hope to do, and this would be a consistent approach, is just chip your kids a little bit. Because you want to touch them, you want to hold them, you want to interact with them, you want to impact them. You're going to chip your kids, folks. It's okay. You're a human being. You survived your folks.
Well, life's going to chip them, too. I mean, you know, so if they're, exactly. not, if they're not used to being chipped at an early age, then I think you've got... And I think that's the real problem with helicopter parents today, is they want to make life chip-proof.
Mm.
And it's just not going to be that way. My daughter, who I love dearly, she has two little boys. Little boys fall down and skin knees. She freaks out every time they skin a knee. I'm like, hey, that's the merit badge. I mean, that's part of it. Boys are going to, you know, bust heads and break bones and skin knees. Get over it.
Girls too. Girls too.
Yeah. But I have these two boys, and so I'm like, that's what they're going to do. And you know, and I have the saying with my grand boys that you'll like. You know, the scene in A League of Their Own when Tom Hanks is the manager and the girl starts to cry and he goes, you're crying. There's no crying in baseball. Well, but anytime one of mine falls down and starts to cry, I look at him and he goes, I know, Big Daddy, there's no crying in baseball.
That's awesome.
They figured that out.
They call you Big Daddy?
They call me Big Daddy, yes.
My dad, who you met, he's Grandpa Bobby Bobby. Why they repeated it. But one of my buddies that was out in Arizona at our double nickel birthday celebration reunion last weekend, he's the only grandfather in the group, and his kids call him Bad Papa.
Bad Papa. That's a good movie.
And the other grandfather is Good Papa. And if you would know my buddy Steve, a better moniker could not have been labeled, that's for sure.
They figured him out at an early age, didn't they?
I think it came from his daughter to his grandchildren. Bad papa, bad papa. This is Glenn Klein on WRJN. We are getting over the hump with author Rick Jones. It's actually a perfect little segue and a preview of today's chapter. We run chapter of Rick's book, Analog Advice in a Digital World. It's a baby boomer's words of wisdom for the millennial generation. It is available everywhere, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, AdvantageFamily.com, FishbaitMarketing.com. It's 52 chapters. We read one-page chapter a week. We talk about it. We're on page 50. It's chapter 17. It's entitled Man Plans and God Laughs. It's a Yiddish proverb. I am the consummate planner. I make lists, and then I make more lists. I keep my calendar in a Word document so I can update it hourly. I plan trips several years in advance. I plan meals months in advance. But as important as it is to make plans, we must remember that a lot of things are really, truly, completely out of our control. You have to learn to go with the flow and adjust when things don't go exactly the way you planned or expected them to go. I have a friend who wins, in quotes, his March Madness bracket each and every year. His secret is that he only fills out his bracket after each round. Playing at home by himself, it works for him. As Coach John Wooden once said, things turn out best for those who make the best of the way things turn out. Boy, ain't that the truth.
Yeah, I actually saw a commercial this year with a couple of guys that had played presidents in either movies or television. I think it was Martin Sheen from The West Wing and Bill Pullman from Independence Day, and they're sitting in a couple of cars filling out their brackets, and they're literally filling out brackets from previous years.
Well, that's one thing that our current president is very good at is that March Madness bracket, generally speaking. He knows his basketball, that's for sure.
Yeah, so no, you know, I really do believe that. I believe in planning. I'm a big planner, but I believe that people that are successful in life quickly adjust.
Well, one of the things, again, getting back to my baseball metaphors, that I tell my guys, and I coach mostly men, is I said, you've got to be ready for the curveball because it's coming. You never know if all you're looking is dead red, in other words, just for the fastball, you're going to be tripped up by the curveball. But if you're ready for the curveball in life, because it's guaranteed, we know this, that the only constant is change, and yet somehow we're shocked by when things don't go our way or when a curveball is thrown into the mix.
Well, I'm laughing at the Republican National Committee right now.
yeah, it's laughable.
Man plans and God laughs. Every week it just gets more comical. It's going to be a fascinating summer. And I think all these plans, I think no one knows how this thing's going to play out.
Well, my cousin Craig lives in Scottsdale, and he's a conservative guy, and he voted for Trump in the Arizona primary. But he said that he would probably prefer Cruz, but he thinks Trump's going to win. And he said, if this is really insightful, I thought, he said that if Trump wanted to take the air out of Cruz at the convention, he would let it be known that as his first duty as president of the United States, he will nominate Ted Cruz to fill Antonin Scalia's space on the Supreme Court.
That's what you call checkmate, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't hear that before. And I thought, you know,
that's fascinating.
Yeah. And I
think, and deep down where Ted Cruz lives, he would rather be a Supreme Court justice than the President of the United States.
Well, he doesn't get along with anybody.
Right. So, and you don't have to as a Supreme Court justice.
No, obviously. I mean, it's nice. Antonin Scalia famously got along with some of the most liberal members. He was best friends with Ruth Bader Ginsburg, for God's sakes.
You know, he seemed to be just a classic kind of Renaissance guy that could disagree without being disagreeable and saw value in people. And I like that. I like people that can listen. You know, what's the old line? There's a reason God gave us two ears and two eyes and one mouth.
Yes.
And you know, sometimes the other person may be right. And they may have some value. It'll be interesting. The whole Supreme Court scenarios are fascinating. Politics this year has just been fascinating. The whole thing.
So the Koch brothers gave $35 million to the law school at George Mason University to name it after Antonin Scalia. And they initially named it the Antonin Scalia School of Law. And somebody noticed the acronym on that. ASSOL. And so they changed it to the Antonin Scalia Law School. So there will be no confusion. One of the things that I love about people is if they have a sense of humor. I don't care where they are politically. I don't care what they're... If they've got a sense of humor, especially a self-reflective sense of humor, you can talk to somebody like that. And I got to think that if Scalia knows what happened, he's got to be laughing his butt off.
Oh, I'm certain of that. I think... And sharing that laughter with a whole lot of other folks, that are all kind of just going, can you believe it? But it's fascinating. But I think this chapter today really, really shows that there are a lot of things going on in our society today that we've planned for, and yet they're not going to come to fruition.
No doubt. That was chapter 17 of Rick Jones's book, Analog Advice in a Digital World, A Baby Boomer's Words of Wisdom for the Millennial Generation. Get it for your millennial today. Chapter 18 next week.
Thanks, pal. Have a great week.
Your radio friend is AM 1400 WRJN, Racine, Kenosha, Milwaukee, a Magnum.media station.
And WRJN covers that changing world at 11 o'clock.
Iran victims, Flint charges. I'm Chaz Henry. The nation's top legal authorities have ruled in favor.